Welcome back to another edition of the Positive View of Rural podcast. On the line with us today is Jeff Reed, who is the founding director of the Georgetown Entrepreneurship Initiative. So, Jeff, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, thanks so much, Becky. I appreciate you having me on here. So my job is what I consider just one of the best in the world. I love what I do. I get to work with the amazing students at Georgetown University, as well as the broader community, to really promote entrepreneurship. Now, this is the second time I've joined a university and founded an entrepreneurship center, and I really, really love helping people pursue their own dreams, and especially when those are fun and interesting things like entrepreneurial activities.
Okay, great. So why do you care about rural entrepreneurship?
Yeah, we get that a lot. You know, since Georgetown University is not known for its rural character, being right in the middle of Washington, D.C., people have asked us, you know, why are you guys doing rural? Well, you know, part of the answer is my own background. My family, both my parents come from rural towns, really small towns in North Carolina, and I've watched those towns ever since I was a child with the struggles that they've had economically and socially and a lot of things that happened there. And so when the opportunity came up for us to get involved, it was really an exciting opportunity. And you know, what Georgetown University brings to the table is you know, a few key things that have helped us get involved in this whole rural entrepreneurship initiative. You know, one thing is there's just a strong social mission here. You know, the university has a character that really wants to make a difference in the world. Another thing we can do is we can convene different multi-sector partnerships. You know, in this case, the American Farm Bureau Federation had reached out to us to figure out ways we can solve problems in rural America, and we were able to bring together other government partners and nonprofits, and it's been, you know, kind of one of the strengths of our school is the ability to connect a lot of the different dots that can perhaps make a difference across the country.
Okay, that's really good. I'm glad you included kind of your own background as well as Georgetown, what got Georgetown involved. So tell me why entrepreneurship matters so much to rural areas.
Yeah, well, entrepreneurship matters everywhere. And you know, I believe that entrepreneurial attitudes and thoughts are part of human nature. You know, often today we look at it as, you know, we look at the entrepreneur as being the outlier, the person that's different than everyone else. But I think it's really the opposite. I think everyone has some entrepreneurial spirit within them. And it may not be the same amount in every individual, but I think it's part of human nature to want to create things, to want to do new things. And, you know, you look back thousands and thousands of years, and everybody really had to be entrepreneurial in order to survive. Certainly the people who cleared land and created farms and built America over the last few hundred years had to do a lot of entrepreneurial things to make that possible. But in today's society, you hear, you know, there's a lot of fear of failure, and there's a lot of people that there's kind of a culture that thinks, well, if it's good, it's good for me to just get a good job. But you know, entrepreneurs create things; they create jobs, and that's important no matter where you live. It is really entrepreneurs that drive the economy of the world, and without someone willing to take a chance and make something happen, then no one would have jobs created for them. So, it's something that we see, you know, in our students, certainly not just at Georgetown, but young people across the United States. And really, interestingly enough, it's a worldwide phenomenon now that more and more people want to be entrepreneurs, and more people are taking the chance to do it. But to your point, you know, the reason why it's important in rural America is these communities need entrepreneurs to drive economic growth. And without that economic growth, you have lots of other problems that are harder and harder to solve.
So what a lot of the people that are listening right now are either business owners themselves, or they work for an economic development group or a chamber of commerce. So what can the everyday people in small towns do to promote more entrepreneurship, to help more entrepreneurship happen? So in all of your experience in doing university entrepreneurship programs, do you have some lessons or ideas that you can share that regular people can use in their own community?
You know, I think the biggest thing we can all do to help entrepreneurs is to just celebrate them. There are plenty of things that we can teach, you know, certainly at a university, that's a lot of what we do. And there are government programs, and there are a lot of things that that can be done policy-wise to help entrepreneurs. But something everyone can do, and something that I think may actually be more important than all those other things, is to just recognize and support the entrepreneurs in your community. You know, I think that when you have a culture and a community that supports entrepreneurship, then great things happen. You know, you don't have to pick winners or offer all kinds of extra incentives and things like that when you have a culture where lots and lots of entrepreneurs can thrive. And it's the whole theory of, you know, plant 1,000 seeds and see some flowers will bloom and that sort of thing. And you never know which one's going to really grow to be the huge tree that supports the whole community. But if you support the whole culture that allows entrepreneurs to thrive, then that helps. And, you know, some of the ways we can do that are providing awards and recognition for entrepreneurs, you know, particularly those that haven't succeeded yet. It's kind of easy for a chamber of commerce or someone to really celebrate the businesses that are thriving and supporting the community, and that's great. We should definitely do that. You know, entrepreneurs that, you know, maybe now are a business, they call themselves a business owner. You know, someday in the past they were an entrepreneur, or somebody was an entrepreneur to create that business, and that's great. Those businesses are important, but perhaps more importantly are the aspiring entrepreneurs, the ones who are just now getting it off the ground. Those are the people that maybe need more support and encouragement. And that could be, you know, whether it's giving out awards, recognizing their contributions, providing assistance and help to them wherever you can, getting articles in the news about these people. All those things help to promote a culture that makes more entrepreneurs likely to give it a try.
And brag about them all over social media. And go to the business and open up your wallet.
Perhaps that's the most important thing. Don't be afraid to buy something. It's great. You know, and culturally it matters. I talk to people who say that, that their own family doesn't support their entrepreneurial endeavors. I think that's actually very common. You know, someone that wants to do something different is often looked down upon in our society, and I think that may be more the case in some rural areas. And so we all need to kind of be careful not to to attach a cultural stigma to someone who's doing something different. And God forbid, they might just fail. You know, that's always part of the fear. But when they do, don't ostracize them or tell them, you know, I told you so, you should have never done that. Then it's time to just dust off your pants and get going and do it again, you know. So just recognizing that being an entrepreneur can be a lonely activity, and providing that extra support, I think, is hugely important.
I'm glad you mentioned failure, because failure is very important to me as a concept, because I have failed in business, and maybe my own share and maybe somebody else's share of failure in business as well. But I think that's key to why I have succeeded in business, is because I have gone through those experiences and have learned, and I grew because of those experiences, and that has made me a better business owner. Mm-hmm. So looking at someone based on only one business failure really is writing somebody off too soon. Be careful not to write your people off too soon.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that is maybe one of the biggest reasons people don't start a business, is the fear of failure. And I failed before too. You know, I was part of a startup. We raised a ton of money. We were putting broadband networks in rural America, and we thought we were going to make a huge impact in these communities and also make a lot of money. Well, the company failed. And before the company completely failed, they fired me, right? And that wasn't the only time I've ever been fired from a job, and the only time I've ever been a part of a failure scenario. So one of the things we got to do is not be afraid to talk about it, and that helps. You know, some people just get wide-eyed whenever I mention that I've been fired from a job before. Well, you know what? It happens to lots and lots of people, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It just means you got to go try something new.
I myself, the business that I have right now, I started in that business because I was fired from a job. I was working as a small-town city manager and was fired from that, which was one of those wonderful experiences. Is not just the private failure of being fired. It's the public. We put it in the newspaper, and the regional radio came and reported on it. And if you can survive that, you come to a conclusion that there's really nothing that they can do to you. They can't eat you. my grandmother used to say, and my mother reminds me. And so you have to just move on from your failures.
That's exactly right. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I completely agree with you. That's a great story, too.
One of the things that you said earlier was, like, plant 1,000 seeds because you never know which one of those seeds is going to grow. I want to talk a little bit about the type of companies that grow in small towns. The stereotyped view of a small town business is a retail store in a brick storefront downtown run by mom and pop. I've never met mom and pop, but they run a lot of businesses. There's a lot wider variety of business than that in small towns. And because your specialty in what you work with mostly are businesses that are growing larger, there's a phrase called stage two companies, which are those businesses that are past 10 employees. They haven't quite reached the 100 employee mark yet. So they're somewhere between 10 and 100 employees. These are good-sized companies that have the ability to grow from who they are. And it's just one of many ways of classifying businesses. But there's an interesting network called Network Kansas that's based in Kansas in the U.S. that has the mission of going around and finding these size of companies that are poised to grow. And last year they found that 61% of these stage two companies that they found were in towns of under 5,000 population. And one of them was in a town under 100. Under 100 people. And here's this company with more than 10 employees poised to grow. And I love the fact that they shared that statistic because I think it shows that there is a much broader diversity of small businesses based in small towns. And many of them are those seeds that are poised to grow and can change their community. So I know that you're based in D.C. and you're part of the metro area now, but could you talk a little bit about the potential of running that kind of a business that could grow without being based in a major metropolitan area?
Absolutely. You know, there are often a lot of advantages to being outside of a metro area. And that's one of the things that many rural entrepreneurs are taking advantage of. You know, for one thing, you don't have the high costs that you have in the city, whether it's for real estate or talent or you know, just paying off the lawyers that might cost hundreds of dollars an hour. I guess they're always going to cost more than you want them to, but that's the way lawyers work. Yeah. But you know, there are a lot of other advantages, and taking advantage of those is something that a lot of rural entrepreneurs are doing to great success. You know, and certainly another factor, of course, we all know that with communications technologies and such, you don't have to be located next to your customer like you used to. So a lot of companies can choose to be located anywhere, and they maybe take advantage of lower cost labor or just a higher quality of life in a rural community. And of course, many of the businesses you're talking about are probably in a B2B space, you know, business to business, where they don't need hundreds or thousands of people walking past their storefront in order to make the business work. They can connect to customers all over the world. Many of those customers may be other businesses in a particular industry. So there are just so many different ways a business can be successful. It certainly doesn't have to be that storefront like you described, or God forbid, you know, let's open a new restaurant, which, hey, restaurants are great.
But I was going to say, in my town, we would be glad to get one more new restaurant. But
I shouldn't talk bad about restaurants. I love them too. But you know, many times it's the assumption that because you love to cook something that there are enough people that are going to want to come pay for it and eat it, that, you know. Anyway, there's a high failure rate of restaurants, but there's so many thousands of different entrepreneurial ideas. And they're usually found, you know, the best ideas are often found because somebody identified a problem that no one else could solve. You know, and that it may be that you need a particular type of retail store in a community because everybody in that community is having trouble finding a particular item. But more likely, it might be something that you run into on a daily basis in your business or on a regular basis in a certain type of industry where, hey, you know, there's no company solving this problem. Maybe I could do that. And that's kind of the way a lot of these businesses get started.
You know, I maintain that rural people are very innovative because we're used to working with less. We have tighter constraints on us, and so we have to come up with creative solutions to things that maybe other people are not thinking the same way about how to solve that problem. So I run into rural business owners, like there was a fellow in Washington State near the community of Concrete, Washington, small community. He's making a solar panel solution. He's not making the panels, but a mounting and hardware solution that nobody else is making, and he's making it in his garage in this little town. But that's an innovative solution based on having a lot of limits. There's a fellow that runs a tow truck operation in Elliott Lake, Ontario. And he has to come up with creative solutions because he has a mostly retired workforce. The people that can come and operate the tow truck and the snowplows is his winter business. And so he came up with all sorts of innovative ways to make it less labor intensive and easier to do so that his retired folks could operate the equipment. And what a wonderful business opportunity that is to make that available to the entire industry based on the innovation that he dreamed up to solve his problem in his small town.
Those are wonderful examples. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to come up with some revolutionary new, you know, Facebook-like idea or something like that. It doesn't have to be high-tech at all. You just have to look at, you know, a problem that you see and say, hey, I can solve that and figure out how to make a business out of it. Those are wonderful examples of people that kind of found a way to do that themselves.
Jeff, I really appreciate you coming on and talking with us today. Before we go, I wanted to say, tell us where you got your degrees, because you're at Georgetown University now, but I think small town folks may appreciate where your degrees come from.
Yeah, well, I was born in Boone, North Carolina, which is in the mountains, and I attended school there. I went to Appalachian State University, and then later to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill for a graduate degree. And so my parents are from Rayford and Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, two towns that are pretty small, and they haven't changed much in the 40-plus years I've been visiting them. Except for the fact that maybe they suffer more challenges now than they maybe did decades ago. I love working at Georgetown, but I also love staying connected to rural America beyond Washington, D.C., certainly. There's so many great things out there across the country, and it's important for everyone. And, you know, sometimes the folks I work with here at Georgetown, I get a chance to educate them about, you know, why rural America is important to everyone else, that those people who live in cities need to be paying attention as well. So thanks for this opportunity. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for being that voice for rural within the initiative there at Georgetown and hopefully nationally. Where can folks go to learn more about the Rural Entrepreneurship Initiative at Georgetown?
We've got strongruralamerica.com. strongruralamerica.com. And that's the Rural Entrepreneurship Initiative website, which is a partnership between Georgetown and the American Farm Bureau Federation. And we just finished the first year of the program. We announced the Rural Entrepreneur of the Year a few weeks ago at the Farm Bureau Conference. And we're looking forward to finding new and more ways to help promote and assist aspiring entrepreneurs. Because entrepreneurs are everywhere. And that includes every little small town across America. And we want to help those people who are thinking about being entrepreneurs. You know, we need to give them that encouragement and assistance to help them make that leap and be successful at it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeff.
All right. Thank you very much, Becky.